Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Sort of a disturbing chapter in ways, because we see a man of faith fail. And that's not always, or that's always disappointing. But I think God has some lessons for us from this passage this morning. Let's follow in your Bibles as I read, beginning in verse 1, Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelled 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Leheroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of this passage. We know that it's a disturbing story because it displeases us, as no doubt it displeased you. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn lessons from this, because every one of us have been in the place where we have displeased you. We have failed to walk by faith and made choices that were not right. Lord, I pray that you would teach us from this passage today and help us to learn what we need to so we can be better servants of Jesus. If there's somebody here who has not trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day of faith for them. And we ask now you give enablement to bring the message and you give glory for yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage before us today illustrates that life is made up of a series of choices. Many choices are there in your life to be made every day, and so a life is really the accumulation of a lot of choices. If you were not here when we dealt with Genesis 13, I would recommend that you listen to that message. The message is entitled Choices. It's a message that all of us need to consider, because life's choices are really very important. When we last saw Abraham in Genesis 15, he was seen as a man of faith. He believed God would give him a child from his own body. And the Lord said that Abraham believed him, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, he imputed righteousness to Abraham because he believed God. He was justified by faith, and God confirmed his covenant with him that he would give him all the land of Canaan to his seed. all the land of Canaan would be given to his seed. But Abraham was experiencing a reality that eventually all of you will probably have to face. And that is, if you stay around long enough, you will get old. Now, some of you can tell me about that, because when I ever get to that place, I'll know what will happen. So please tell me, warn me about what's coming. You can almost hear it in his voice back in chapter 15, verse 3, when Abram said this, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed." But God promised him that he would father a child. And he believed God, and he walked on in faith. But it's usually, if not always, true that when you face a test in your life and you pass that test, it won't be too long down the road until you face another test. And how important it is for us to realize that life has tests. Just because you've passed a test doesn't mean that it's all over. There will be more tests to come. It had now been 10 years since Abraham had come into the land of Canaan. We find that from verse 3. Things seemed to be going fine, but he still had no child. Now, Sarah, his wife, was probably having more problems or dealing with this problem than Abraham was. And she was struggling with this whole thing of no children. Maybe she reasoned something like this in her own mind. God told my husband he would father a child. He seems to believe this, but the fact is it's not going to happen by me. I am now 75 years old, and it seems I am incapable of conceiving a child. I can see that Abraham is still capable of fathering a child. So maybe God wants me to do something about this. It's customary that a woman can give her handmaid to her husband as a wife, and that handmaid can bear children to her. And when that happens, the child that she bears will be considered the mistress's. And so if Hagar bears a child, it will be my child. And she's probably reasoning that as she's thinking about these things. So we come to chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And we find that Sarah made a suggestion to Abraham. And she says to Abraham, Abraham, why don't you go in unto Sarah and there'll be children born, and those will be considered mine, and then we can have the answer to our problem that we've been experiencing. Now, I want to stop for just a minute and look at the word Hagar. It's a name, of course, and it's not an Egyptian name, even though she's an Egyptian. It's a Hebrew name. And the name means flight. Now, that probably was given to her back in Egypt. You remember Abram and Sarah went down into Egypt, and he lied about Sarah, and Pharaoh took Sarah into his household. And then God revealed to Pharaoh that this was Abram's wife. Pharaoh was upset about it. And before that, he'd given them handmaids and all of that, men servants and maid servants and cattle, or rather camels and donkeys. He'd given all of these things to them. And then after he found out about it, he cast them out and said, "Get out of here." And so they took their flight from Egypt, going back to Canaan, and Hagar's name means flight. So that probably is probably where it came from. They got her down in Egypt and named her by the fact that they were having to leave in a hurry. Well, Sarah reasoned that if this worked, if I give Hagar to Abram and this works, she reasoned that the child would be considered her child and the problem would be solved. She would have a child to care for and to love, and Abraham would have that seed that God had promised him. So Sarah told Abraham her scheme or her solution, and she gave Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. Now, I was listening to a message by somebody else on this passage, which sometimes I do, if I'm going to preach about something. And this particular preacher said, Abram was a great man, and he would never have come up with this suggestion, and he never would have done this. And probably after a long time, she kept on talking to him and talking to him, and probably after a long time, he agreed and gave in and did what she told him to do. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? But that's not what the Bible says. I mean, we can gloss over Abraham's faults and make it look good, but Abraham was party to this. And there's no indication in the Bible that Abraham rejected her offer. It never says that weeks later he finally agreed. No, the text says that Sarah suggested it, and Abraham willingly accepted the suggestion, and he took Hagar soon afterwards, and he went unto her, and Hagar conceived a child. In other words, it was just sin. Sin on Sarah's part, sin on Abram's part, but they did this as they were trying to help God out to fulfill his promises. When you first read this, you're inclined to say, what? Well, I thought this was the father of the faithful. I thought this was the friend of God. I thought this was the man of faith. How in the world could he do such a thing? Well, we could turn the question on all of us, couldn't we? And say, there's been times in our life when we've made bad decisions. And someone could say, how in the world could you do such a thing? Well, that's what happened with Abram and Sarah. They did something that seemed out of character, and why in the world would they do something like that? Well, that's the way I want to consider this passage this morning. I want us to consider this disturbing passage and look at the subject, when faith fails. Because faith did fail. Abraham's faith failed. Sarah's faith failed. Faith failed. So when faith fails, what is it that takes place? What happens when a believer's faith fails? I think we can see it in this passage. The first thing is this. When faith fails, a drifting away from God has already occurred. It doesn't happen overnight. When faith fails like this, in fact, this is a major failure of faith. I mean, to commit adultery, that's a major failure of faith. And so when faith fails, a drifting away from God probably occurred right before that. We have many examples of God's faithful people who did such a thing, not exactly like this, but their faith failed. You think of Moses. Moses, that strong leader. Moses, that one who was doing everything that God told him to do. And yet Moses probably got to the place where, you know, he was in charge, the Israelites were doing what he said, and he was giving commands, and they were following those commands. And then they begin to grumble and complain about water again. God had already provided water one time. And they began to grumble and complain about it. And God said, now, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock this time. And Moses just took charge, and he took the rod in his hand, and he rebuked those people, and he struck that rock. God said, no, I didn't want you to do that. And because of that, you're not going to go into the promised land. His faith failed. I think of another man by the name of Gideon. Gideon, that great man of God who's fought that battle with 300 people against all kinds of enemies. I mean, without number, there were so many of them. And that you couldn't even number their camels. And Gideon fought that great battle. But you come to the end of Gideon's life, and he fails the Lord greatly. What happened? Well, before he failed, there must have been a deterioration of his relationship with the Lord. And that faith in the Lord had deteriorated, and he had drifted away from the Lord. You think of Elijah, that great man of God, who had that victory on Mount Carmel. And what happened? Well, he got a letter from Jezebel, and he got scared and ran and got to the place where he asked God to kill him. I mean, it wasn't worth living. How did he ever get to that place? Well, there was a deterioration in his relationship with the Lord. Maybe there was a time when he was so tired and he just didn't fellowship with the Lord like he should. And anyway, he got away from the Lord. You think of David.
and you know about David, and then you think of Peter. I mean, there's great men of God who failed. How did they fail? How did their faith fail? Well, first of all, they began to drift away from close fellowship with the Lord. The rescue of Lot took place about 8 years before this, I assume. The Bible tells us that Abraham had been in the land of Canaan for 10 years, verse 3. So it had probably been at least 8 years since he rescued Lot and got back to normal and everything and settled down. Well, in that settling down, no doubt he and Sarah both drifted away out of fellowship with the Lord. I mean, they were still serving the Lord. They were still faithful to God, but their closeness to the Lord probably wasn't as close as it had been. Why would we think that? Why would we say that? Well, the Bible says that Sarah had this thought in her mind, and she says, maybe, and she comes up with this scheme, but there's no indication that Sarah ever prayed about it. She told that to Abram, and there's no indication that Abram ever prayed about it. It seems like Abram willingly did what Sarah suggested. Now, that's not what a person does who's real in close fellowship with the Lord. And so when your faith fails, you probably have come to the place where you're not as close fellowship with the Lord. We as Christians need to be cautious because we can become complacent. We can get to the place where we're not as close to the Lord as we should be. And then a big test comes and we fail the test because we have not been doing what we should do in keeping in fellowship with the Lord. Like our attendance at church, or like our prayer life, or our Bible reading, or our witnessing for the Lord. In Romans chapter 13, it says this, "Now it's high time to wake out of our sleep." Christians can sometimes get just complacent, and we're really not doing what we should do and staying close in fellowship with the Lord, and it happens. Faith fails because we were not close to the Lord. Drifting away has occurred. Major failure. You've heard of major failures. I can think of some in my life of people I've heard about, pastors, respected men, and you hear this bad news that they have failed and they've committed immorality, or they've done other things financially that were improper, and you know, they just come crumbling down. And you realize that didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen overnight. That was a gradual thing. They got out of close fellowship with the Lord, and then when the big test came, they failed the test because they had been drifting away from the Lord. Another thing is this. When faith fails, there is a refusal to wait on the Lord. When faith fails, there is a refusal to wait on the Lord. That's true of Abram and Sarah. That's for sure. I mean, they were to wait on the Lord, and they had been waiting on the Lord. I mean, it had been 10 years since God gave this promise to Abraham. And it had been 10 years, and they had been waiting, but they're getting tired of waiting. And so they failed to wait on the Lord. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Through faith and patience. Patience always accompanies faith, waiting on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. God knew what He was doing. Sarah began to question, does God know what He's doing, or have I got the message straight, or should I resort to some other means? And she began to think all these things, but God knew what He was doing. You see, God's plan was to give them a child when something happened. And we find this from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 12. And that is, Abraham got to the place where his body was as good as dead. His body was as good as dead. In other words, he was not capable of fathering a child. Now, at this time, he was capable. And he fathered a child by Hagar. But God's plan was that it would be to the, get to the place where his body was as good as dead, and then God would do the impossible, and he would father a child, and Sarah would be the mother. I mean, it's amazing thing, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman having a child. I mean, that's amazing. That's miraculous. But hadn't gotten to that place yet. And so they weren't waiting on the Lord. God knew what he was doing. You see, difficulty is no problem with God. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, how impossible it gets, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But sometimes it looks that way to us. It looks like there's no way God can get us out of this. There's no way that God can do this. But God is waiting, and so we're to wait. Sarah thought she needed to hurry things up, and Abraham agreed. And they refused to wait. They were not patient. Oh, how many times we get ourselves in trouble because of that very thing. We refuse to wait, and we're not patient. We need to remember something. Delay is not denial. God was delaying, but it wasn't denial. He had promised, and since he promised, it was going to happen. And if it just keeps on delaying, then you just have to keep on waiting because the Lord knows what he's doing. And so when faith fails, often it's true that we're just not willing to wait on the Lord. And then there's another thing we learn from this passage. And that is when faith fails, we begin to lean on our own understanding. Have you ever been there? You know, I've been waiting and I've been waiting. Well, I just got to figure this out. I got to know what I'm going to do, and without praying about it, without having the peace of the Lord about it, we go ahead and do it. I have done that, and I'm sure you have too. Sarah came with a plan. She said this, verse 2 and 3, "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Well, that was true, but there was a reason. Sarah didn't understand the reason. She said, "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing." And then she says this, I don't know if you noticed these words. She said this, "It may be that I may obtain children by her," by Hagar. It may be. I'm plotting something. I'm just thinking what could be. And you know, this could really work. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is based on the Word of God, not on man's wisdom and man's plans and man's scheming. Faith is based on the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." But you notice that, lean not on your own understanding. That's what Sarah was doing. It may be, I'm thinking this could really happen, this could really work. And she's leaning on her own understanding, and she's not trusting the Lord. Just because something is legal does not mean it's right. In Abraham's day, what they were thinking about doing and what they ended up doing was legal. It was true that Hagar was her handmaid. In other words, she was Sarah's property, like a slave. And she belonged to Sarah. And it was her right in those customs there to do what she did. And that is, she could give her possession to Abraham to be his wife, and that person could have a child, and that would be Sarah's child because that person belonged to her. And so it was legal, but it wasn't right. And so it's true today. Many things that are accepted, many things that are so-called legal, are not right. And I'm often disturbed because I'll talk to people and they know who I am. They know I'm the pastor. And they will say, my boyfriend and I just got a house and we moved in together and don't think a thing about it. Why? Because society today has said that's okay. That's accepted. I don't care who it is, it's not accepted, it's still wrong. And it can be somebody close to me, somebody close to you. It doesn't matter. It's still wrong. The same is true with same-sex marriage. Legally, it's all right. But it's still not all right with God. It's still not all right with God. Abortion, legally, it's right. But it's still not all right with God. it's still sin, it's still murder. And so just because something is legal does not make it right. Well, Abram and Sarah were dealing with something that was legal, and they thought this might work, but it still was wrong. The end does not justify the means. You know, a lot of people have this thought that if it turns out right, it's okay. I believe that's happening with the election. I mean, I think it probably is. That people have this end game, if it turns out right, it'll be all right. It doesn't matter how we cheat. It doesn't matter all that. We'll do all that, and if it just turns out our way, it's okay. No, it's not okay. I don't care who it is. I don't care which party it is. It's not okay to cheat. It's not all right to do wrong to accomplish something that you want. The end does not justify the means. She reasoned that the end result would give her a child and Abraham would have a seed and thus it would be okay. No. Righteousness is right and unrighteousness is wrong, and that's the end of it. That's the way it is. Well, there's another thing about when faith fails, and that is when faith fails, sin will follow. When faith fails, sin will follow. They drifted away from the Lord. They started where they weren't going to wait on the Lord any longer. They had to hurry this up. They couldn't trust the Lord. They couldn't wait on the Lord. They leaned on their own understanding and came up with their own plan. But the inevitable will happen. And that is when your faith fails, sin will follow. And it did. Oh, how it did. It followed in the life of these people. There's three people involved here. Abram, Sarah, and Hagar. And sin followed. You see, all this leading up to this is just, I've drifted away from the Lord a little bit. I'm not waiting on the Lord. I'm leaning on my own understanding. But then this thing works out. I mean, I actually make this thing happen. And sin has taken place. And surely it did. Sarah sinned in suggesting an immoral act to Abram. She said, Abram, I want you to do this. Abram could have said, wait a minute, that's not right. But he didn't. But Sarah sinned in suggesting that to her husband. You know, even if you read this passage, you even see that Sarah had in mind that this would happen more than once. Because in verse 2, I think it's verse 2, she says, yes, that I may obtain children by her. Not just one, but children by her. She was expecting this relationship to continue, and that was all right. Isn't it interesting that at one time not too long ago, a few years before, Abraham was willing to give up his wife to another man, and now Sarah is willing to give up her husband to another woman. Well, Sarah sinned. Abraham sinned by committing adultery with Hagar. It was wrong what Abraham did. He listened to his wife, he did what she told him to do, and he committed adultery with Hagar, and that was wrong. It was sin. Hagar sinned by committing adultery with Abraham. So sin followed. When faith fails, sin will follow. Sarah sinned, Abraham sinned, Hagar sinned, and Hagar sinned then by despising Sarah. Verse 4, it says that Sarah, her mistress, was despised in their eyes. It's like this. This slave girl is now expecting by Abram, this great man, and she takes that sort of as an honor, and she becomes proud about it, and she looks at her mistress with disdain, and she just doesn't like her anymore, and she feels like she's better than Sarah is because she has conceived, and pride wells up in her heart, and she sins by her reaction to Sarah. So everyone's sinning. Abraham, Sarah. Sarah sinned then when she blamed Abraham. She turned to blamed Abraham. You know, it's your fault. Well, it was his fault in a way, but she was not without blame. And so she blames Abraham for doing this and all that, so she sinned. And then Abram sinned in his lack of compassion toward Hagar and her child. What did Abram do? He said, well, just take her, go. I mean, just you do with her what you want to. Abram had gone into Sarah and to Hagar, and a child had been conceived, and Abraham was to the place where he said, all right, if you don't like her, if you don't like what's happened, just, you know, do with what you want to. Abram was willing to give Hagar up and the child that she was carrying, which is his child, and he was willing to turn a deaf ear to them and just give them up. That was wrong, and he sinned in doing that. He sinned in not taking responsibility for his sin. He should have stopped Sarah and said, Sarah, listen, I know that I did wrong. I should not have done what you told me to do. You shouldn't have suggested it, but it's my fault. I did it, and I have sinned. And we need to get together, and we need to talk to the Lord about this, and we need to ask God to forgive us, and we need to do the best we can in the situation we're in and ask God for help. But he didn't do that. Abram sinned. Sarah sinned in being mean to Hagar. Sarah got bitter, and she was mean to Hagar, and she was so harsh to her that Hagar just ran, and she fled from there. Had to get away from there because she was being so mean. Abraham and Sarah both sinned by not waiting on the Lord and following their own scheme. You see, sin had complicated things in this family. Right before this, it was a nice family. You know, Abram had the most beautiful lady probably in the area because everybody thought she was so pretty. And he had been true to her and she had been true to him. He was a one-woman man and she was a one-man woman. And sure, they had a lady in their house who was serving them and taking care of things and helping. They had other servants as well. I mean, they were rich. God had blessed them. But they refused to wait on the Lord. And they followed their own schemes. And they sinned against God. And this brought everything down. And sin had so complicated this family. Talk about a dysfunctional family. We have it right here. Well, then one thing else I want to mention, or a couple things, and that is when faith fails, not only does sin follow, disappointment will come. When faith fails, disappointment will come. Boy, you see it in this passage, don't you? Sarah was disappointed with Hagar. She had been a faithful servant to her up to this time. She was so close to her, she was willing to give her to her husband in this arrangement that was accepted at that time. I mean, but she was seemed like having a close relationship with Hagar. But Sarah was disappointed with Hagar now. She was disappointed with Abraham. She was disappointed with herself. Sin always brings disappointment. She was disappointed with the child that would be born. Before she wanted this child, now she doesn't even want this child. Just get him out of here. I don't want him. She was disappointed with the child. She was disappointed with her whole scheme. It just had not turned out right, not the way she planned. Sin always brings disappointment. And then Abraham was disappointed. He was disappointed with Sarah. He was disappointed with Hagar. He was disappointed with the child. He had fathered the child. That was his child. But he was willing to send them away and just do away with them. And no doubt he was disappointed with himself. Don't you believe the man of faith, after all this happens, sits in his house and says, how in the world did I let this happen? It's my fault. And he was no doubt disappointed with himself. Hagar, she was also disappointed. She was disappointed with Sarah. They had been close. I mean, she had been faithful to Sarah. And she just did what Sarah wanted her to do to help Sarah out. And she didn't understand all these things about their God and all that. She probably was being sympathetic, but up to this point, she didn't understand everything. And so she went along with Sarah. Now she's disappointed with Sarah. She's disappointed with Abram, who had that close relationship with her, and now he's willing just to throw her away. And because of Sarah and Abraham's actions, I imagine that she was disappointed with their God. Maybe up to this time, she had been leaning toward faith in their God. She had understood the way they lived and how they kept themselves pure and how they were so different than everybody else and how God's hand seemingly was upon them. And she probably was beginning to exercise some faith herself. And and really maybe trying to get to the place where she could accept this God. But by right now, she's disappointed with God and everybody. Why? How do we know that? She went back to Egypt. She's leaving this household and she's going to go back to her people and her gods and her and Egypt. She's going to go back to Egypt. She's disappointed as well. And then God was disappointed. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to please the Lord who has chosen us to be a soldier. We are to please Him. It's our responsibility to please God. But when we do things like this and we depart from trusting the Lord and our faith fails, it displeases God. So everybody's disappointed. And sin always brings disappointment. But then I want to close this morning with a good note. When faith fails, there's something else that happens. When faith fails, God is not defeated. Aren't you glad of that? When faith fails, God is not defeated. You see, God had a plan, and that was through Abraham, they were going to have a child. This child was going to be Isaac. God knew that. And God knew that from that child would be the children of Israel, and all of this would happen. And God knew that, that eventually the Son of God would come to this earth, into that family, and He would be born a Jew. God knew all that, that Jesus was going to die for our sins. God met all that, had all that planned. And when Abram failed, his faith failed, God was not defeated. And it's so good to know that when we fail, God doesn't fail. When that's happened, Abram's failed, Sarah's failed, and Hagar's failed. But what does God do? Well, God goes after Hagar. You know, the most vulnerable one. I mean, the one that's not even of Abraham. The one that's an Egyptian, God goes after her. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord found her. Now, who was this angel of the Lord? That's probably a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Because even Hagar later calls Him God. And so this is God appearing to man, appearing to Hagar. And so the angel of the Lord found her. And then He was compassionate to her. Verse 11 says, He heard thy affliction. I heard what you were going through. And my heart went out in compassion to you. You know, God is interested in people. God's interested in people who fail Him, people who are hurt because of people failing them. God's interested in them. God loves people. And the Bible says He heard her affliction, and He is the God of grace. Hagar doesn't deserve this. She's an adulteress herself. She doesn't deserve this, but God is a God of grace. And the Bible tells us in Luke 19, you remember that great passage, verse 10. It's the story of Zacchaeus, a rich tax collector who had gotten rich by cheating people. And he was a little man. And he had to climb up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus coming by. And Jesus said, come down, I'm going to go to your house. And he did. And that day, Zacchaeus got saved, a changed heart, a changed man. And then right after that account, the Lord says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, aren't you happy of that, that the Lord come to seek and to save that which is lost? I was one of those, and you were too, before you trusted Jesus as your Savior. God sought after us and saved us. And then God made some promises to Hagar. Let's notice what He did said to Hagar. It says in verse 10, He says, I'm going to multiply your seed. I mean, it's going to be innumerable. I'm going to multiply your seed. From this child, Hagar, that you're going to have, even though the situation is not right, I still love that child. By the way, God still loves children. I don't care how a child is conceived. You don't have the right to move against that child because of your sin. God loves that child. And so God says of this child, I'm going to multiply this, and I'm going to multiply your seed, and He's going to be the one that's going to it's just going to have so many people in this world because of Him. And I'm going to name him Ishmael. This is the first one that God named before they were born in the Bible. There were others, but this is the first one, Ishmael. But then He also told her some things about Ishmael. He said that his character would be like a wild donkey. Look at it in verse 12. And he will be a wild man. The the originally actually says a wild ass or a donkey. He'll be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. In other words, he's an independent type guy. And there's going to be people against him, and he'll be against people. And we know from the Bible that the descendants of Ishmael are the Arabs. And the Arabs have been that kind of people. Good people, lots of them. I've known several Arabs in my life. But God says they're wild people in lots of ways. And they're independent. And it doesn't mean they're really bad, but they're just independent people. And they don't let anybody tell them what to do. They're going to go their own way, and they're going to be against each other. And that's the way it is. And the Arabs have been a thorn in the flesh for Israel for all these years. And by the way, Muslims, the Muslim religion came through these people. And so God knew what was going to happen. But he says, I know what's going to happen. I'll name this son. I'm going to tell you about his character. And then Hagar comes to the place where I think she actually believes in the Lord. It says in verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. She was getting away from them. She was going back to Egypt. She probably had come to the place where she didn't want anything to do with Abram and Sarah's God. But now this God shows compassion on her, tells her about her child, tells her these things are going to happen, how these going to be, they're going to be great nations that come from this child. And she says, I met God, and he's the God that sees me. And then she'd met him at the well, and the Bible says later in verse 14, and the well was called Beer Lahairoi. That means the well of the living one who sees me. I don't know if we'll see Hagar in heaven or not. But at least at this point, it seems like she is trusting the God of Abram and Sarah. Wow. But then as you conclude the passage, it says, verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. 86 years old when the child was born. And so it implies that God is not through. He hasn't been defeated by this. He still has a plan for Sarah and Abram, and surely he did. The promised seed was still going to come. Oh, yes, it was going to be 14 years later. 14 more years, but it was still going to happen. God was not through with Abram and Sarah. Well, it's encouraging, because when you mess up, God's not through with you if you're truly a child of God. I like what the prophet Jeremiah taught us. He went down to the potter's house, and the potter was working a vessel in the hand of the potter. And it says the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed fit to the potter to make it. You know, sometimes we are marred in the hand of the potter. But when we're marred in the hand of the potter, God doesn't throw us away. He takes out the mar, he takes out the thing that's defective, and he makes us again another vessel as seemed fit to the potter to make it. What? For his use. For his use. And that's what he did with Abram and Sarah. God's not through with them. God's going to use this to help them and to make them what they should be. You see, when we mess our lives up, we need to do what God says. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then do what he told Hagar to do and Abram and Sarah to do, and that is submit to him. Submit to me. Our failure does not mean that our lives are going to end in defeat. You can mess your life up completely. I mean, how can you have a more messed up life than Sarah, Abram, and Hagar right now? You can mess your life up completely, but it doesn't mean God is through with you. God still has a plan for your life. He will still bless Abram and Sarah. Remember Jonah? God still had a plan for him and used him after his failure. I remember a song that I used to hear a lot years ago. And you'll remember it as I read the words, but it goes like this. Have you failed in life's battle to accomplish your plans? Is your heart heavy laden? Do you fear the Lord's command? Do you feel that no one loves you and there's no use to try? Just bring your cares to Jesus. Your soul He'll satisfy. Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces and trust in His holy word. He will put them back together and make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. It's good to know when our faith fails that some things have happened, but it doesn't have to end wrong. The Bible says when the faith fails, you probably drifted away from God. When faith fails, you probably refuse to wait on the Lord. When faith fails, you begin to lean on your own understanding. And then sin follows, and then disappointment follows. But thank the Lord, defeat doesn't follow. Because the Lord can bring victory out of your failures. And we just need to wait on the Lord and trust in Him. May God help us not to have our faith fail. But if it does, remember, the Lord wants to bring you back into fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for reminding us from this account that sin does not have to ultimately defeat us. Sin is something that happens after we fail a test. But You will put us back together. You will forgive us. And You still have a plan and a purpose for our life. Help us to remember that, Lord, as we go on in faith. Help us to stay close to You. And when we fail, help us not to give up, but to come back to You, because You can put us together. We thank You in Jesus' name.